Today's reading will be coming from John chapter 4, verses 4 to 26, and then straight to 39 to 42. Now that he had gone through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. How could you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with the Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew that the gift of God, who that has asked for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would give you the living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well to drink from?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink from the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give him will become a spring of water welling up in an eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I don't go thirsty and I don't have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man currently with you is not your husband." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on a mountain, but the Jews claim that the only place you can worship is Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you worship the Father neither on a mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." And then jumping straight to verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. And because of that, many more people became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believers because of what you have said. We now have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Thanks be to God. Oh, wait, sorry. The other one.
Thank you, Simon. That was a very long reading, the longest conversation in the New Testament that we have. When have you met a stranger and had an in-depth conversation and gone much deeper than you ever intended? Experienced sharing of something of humanity as you did it? Perhaps thought about life differently through that encounter? Have you ever had that? You know, we've heard a story of two people who meet at a place of refreshment. Both are weary. Both are searching for something more. He is physically tired and looking for a drink to ease his thirst. She is tired of life and its judgments and is seeking to become invisible. They meet and they look at each other, quickly evaluating the stranger through well-practiced lenses. And so the conversation begins. He asks for a drink. She counters with sarcasm and a provoking question. He answers, and slowly they begin to move deeper into matters of life. She's reluctant to be honest and instead tries to divert the conversation back to argument and belief, because that's never happened before. Yet he is persistent in washing away layers of superficial prejudice. She wishes to remain lost in religious cultured questions. And he dives deeper into what really matters, and their discussion leads to truth of how life really is. Perhaps the woman is a person we all know, someone isolated, scared to be themselves, someone seeking to be anonymous. Perhaps we can relate with the woman. When the Samaritan woman gets to the well, there's a Jewish man there already. And worse still, he speaks to her. I mean, this is geographically and historically problematic, to say the least. At the time, there was a rift between the Jews and the Samaritans, a serious rift, a rift like the Catholics and Protestants in Northern Ireland, or like the feuding between street gangs in New York. Both politics and religion are involved. And the public hostility and rejection of each other went back for many centuries. And then added to this, Jesus was a man speaking with a woman, and it was scandalous for a Jewish man to speak with a woman in a public place. It was not lawful, decent, right, or proper. And that's why the disciples are surprised on their return to find Jesus speaking with her. So when Jesus asks her for a drink of water, she says to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" And Jesus answers her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Living water, that's an Old Testament expression for flowing water. Jesus is talking about water that provides eternal life, permanently satisfying human thirst. The water is maybe Jesus himself, his teaching, or the Spirit. The woman misunderstands this living water and takes it literally. "Sir," she says, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. How can you get this living water?" Jesus tells her that whoever drinks the water at the well is going to be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the living water will not thirst. He tells her that the water he gives will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Well, what a beautiful imagery here. A spring of water welling up to eternal life. A spring is a place where groundwater flows out from the ground. A spring can start rivers. Towns grow around a spring. Springs can be gushing with water. Springs bring life. Think of a fountain of water, uncontained and overflowing into our lives. So the woman has been creeping up to the well, anonymous due to shame and being ostracized, and now she hears of this living water. And so she says to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and I don't have to keep coming here day after day to draw water." And then we have this interchange. Jesus asks her to call her husband and come back. She replies, "I don't have one." Jesus tells her that she's telling the truth. She's had 5 husbands and the one she's with now is not a husband. We often seem to get more hung up on the 5 husbands detail than what Jesus does, really. And then she says brightly, One day the Messiah will come and he'll make it all clear. That's me, says Jesus. He reveals his identity to this woman, a Samaritan woman, in a public place. So the woman progresses from seeing Jesus as an inconvenient freeloader looking for a drink to a prophet and finally to the Messiah. And in that, the woman leaves her jar, which is symbolic of her old way of life. She leaves her old way of life behind and inviting others to come and see. She's become a witness, caught up in the mission. She's a marginalized woman, an outcast, and yet she comes to recognize Jesus' identity and mission and becomes a witness to others. In fact, she's the first evangelist to the Gentiles, those who weren't Jews. She's the fruit of John 3:16 in the preceding chapter, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." For God so loved the world, not for God so loved the Israelites, not for God so loved the Jews, for God so loved the world. We don't know her name. And yet she's an example to us all. We don't know her name, and yet she's one of the best known personalities in the New Testament in the longest recorded conversation in the Gospels. She understands rejection. And Jesus shows us that no one is beyond the reach of Christ. This is good news for us all. Good news for all who are marginalized. Good news for all who sometimes feel unloved or unlovable. We have the story of an insider and an outsider, the named and the unnamed. Who are the unnamed to us? Who are the outsiders? Who are the anonymous people in our lives and in our community? Who needs to be known and loved? Who's different? Who's isolated? Who feels not worthy? Jesus saw the Samaritan woman as who she was and who she would become. She received living water. She received life, living water for a thirsty soul. You know, we receive living water. And whenever I think of living water, I'm reminded of baptism, where we leave our old life behind and discover a new life in Christ, just as the Samaritan woman has done. Living water. Living water. Drink from the living water of grace and forgiveness. Know the living water in the person of Jesus Christ. Know the love of Jesus. Know that Jesus loves us. Just as Jesus shows deep concern and deep love for the Samaritan woman, so he loves us. John refers to this living water again in John 7:38. Where Jesus says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink, and whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." What would it mean to be the source of living water in our communities? What does it mean to be that water in this time, in this context, in this week? What does it mean in this time of fear and uncertainty? Last week I shared about the Christians in Wuhan and how they're an inspiration to us. And if you didn't hear that, it's on podcast. They're connecting with the love of God and serving people around them and in the streets where no one else wants to go. You know, in Singapore, the local churches account for about 1 in 5 Singaporeans. And they're a bit ahead of us with the coronavirus. And they've been forced into an extended period of self-examination, reflection, and action. Entire denominations have suspended services. All church-based preschools have closed. And while much of the secular world response to the virus is driven by fear, Christians saw an opportunity to help and to reach the community. Pastor Lim is quoted, "One of the distinct things that we wanted to affect was the atmosphere of the community. At the onset of the outbreak, people acted in fear. In Singapore, panic buying took hold of many people." Not just in Singapore. "Healthcare workers were chased off public transport for fear that they might have come into contact with outbreak patients. Highly discriminatory remarks were made against Chinese nationals." We can never fully remove these negative elements in society, he said, but what we can do is ensure that there are more positive vibes being generated than negative ones. And so we sent our people out to care, to be kind and to go the extra mile to help. So their church reached out to migrant workers, many of whom had been unable to earn a living after projects were cancelled due to the virus fears. And taxi drivers, whose business has been badly affected with people choosing to stay home. You know, the Christians across Singapore have kick-started many acts of love and kindness, including a song of hope that's been shared that was written by a 12-year-old. Blessing neighbourhood cleaners, giving migrant workers free masks and vitamins, making thousands of handmade notes to encourage healthcare workers, organising a blood drive to help local blood banks that run low on supplies as people avoid hospitals. "Viruses spread quickly," says Pastor Lim. But kindness is infectious too. You know, Christians in Singapore have found new inroads through acts of love in this time. And they've found that people are open to conversations on deeper issues of life. Another pastor, Pastor Lee, says, "Is the meaning of life and our time on this earth the prolonging and preservation of life for as long as possible? Is it to be occupied with temporal things like material wealth and comfort?" And so they're speaking into these things. And they've also found that there's no better time to spend more time in prayer. And at noon, every day since the 14th of February, Christians have stopped what they're doing for a moment of united prayer in the face of COVID-19. The church bells ring to call people to prayer. Just as the Christians in Wuhan believe that now is an opportunity to demonstrate God's love and share the message of hope, so the Christians and churches of Singapore have seen the opportunity to help and to reach their community. Last week here, we considered how the words of Psalm 121 speak powerfully into times of fear and loss. We lifted our eyes beyond the mountains and remembered that our help comes from on high. We're to give our fears to God, connect with the love of God as we walk together in this. And then today, as we consider the story of the Samaritan woman, we find a story of Jesus breaking down barriers. Where neither her gender ethnicity nor her religious commitments or practices are a barrier to Jesus' gracious gift to her. We find the story of living water. And what would it mean for our communities to see the living water in us, for us to be the living water at this time? Although lots of things are cancelled. Love is not cancelled. Kindness is not cancelled. Hope is not cancelled. Individually, I'd like to leave us with a challenge. A challenge for us as individuals, as well as a challenge in our connect groups, on what it is that we can do for our community. How can we be that source of living water? So individually, are there people in our neighbourhood who are isolating themselves? Make sure they're not abandoned. Phone for a chat. Offer to go to the shops with them or for them. Drop a meal off. Walk their dog. Check they have enough toilet paper. Do you have elderly neighbours? Check in on them. See if they're worried. Let them know they can call you if they need anything. Eat at a Chinese restaurant. Go to Chinatown. Show up. Be friendly. Ring that friend who's a casual worker at a venue and is now out of work. Do something for the anonymous people in our community. Do family, friends, and relatives seem particularly worried? Be a listening ear. Be a quiet, calm, listening presence for them. In our connect groups, in our small groups, what would cause people to be stunned by kindness, courage, generosity, faith, hope, and love? What is one thing you can do to be the source of living water in our communities? Like sending encouraging notes to the medical staff at a local hospital. An encouraging note or a small basket of goodies to your local travel agent or airline staff because they're doing it really tough right now. Or something for the nursing home in your area. There are so many ideas. Be creative, but do something. The call of Jesus places a higher value on caring for others than on looking out for ourselves. And finally, I'd like to invite us to pray together. I'm suggesting at 7 p.m. every night, could we all pause, wherever we are, to pray for a few minutes. Pray for our community. Pray for a cure. Pray for those affected. Pray for those working in our hospitals. Pray for schools that are closed. Pray for those who are without work. Pray for the vulnerable. Pray for the homeless. We can be a prophetic witness of hope at this time, a source of living water. This is the time for us to live out being a community of acceptance, hope, and transformation in Jesus. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you that you are the source of living water. That you freely give this living water to us through Jesus Christ. We thank you for this beautiful gift, this gracious gift, that a spring of water can well up to eternal life within our own lives. Lord Jesus, help us to be rivers of living water that flow. We're sorry for those times that we've been in our own bubble and haven't seen the suffering or the fear of others. We thank you that these things and all our sins are forgiven through your death on the cross and through your offering of living water to us. Holy Spirit, you are our goal and our guide. You go before us. Pour your love into our hearts that refreshed and renewed we may invite others to the living water given to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.